I use a lot of scripture. Y'all know that. I say that each time. But I also say that you can't have too much Bible with it. So, one thing I want to make mention, there's a very thin line between my preaching and my teaching. But, no, I'm not a loud preacher. I don't preach like Brother Josh, like my dad or anybody. But life would get boring if we all preach the same, right? But I do have lots of notes. I got 5 points, 6.5 pages. Just kidding. Not really. So to start off with, go to Psalms 38. And then once you find it, put your finger there. And then go to Proverbs 14. So Psalms 38 and Proverbs 14. Now, and we know God works in crazy ways and stuff. So there was the other night, it may have been sometime last week, for example, but Christy was over at her desk working on cards, I assume, and I was laying in bed scrolling through TikTok, to be honest with you. But a video came on. And have y'all ever had those moments where you heard something, seen something, or read something, and it's like getting knocked upside the head? It's just like, wow. Or cold water thrown at you. And that has stuck with me, and I was reading other things because Brother Josh asked me to preach a couple weeks ago, and so I've been studying other things, but I could not get past that video. And so what the video was, I'll tell you about it. It was like an interview setting. It was like an informal. It wasn't anything, official type of, maybe like a podcast or some type of interview. And just a little excerpt, so I don't know what the story was about. I don't know what the context was of it, but just this video is what they posted. And one guy asked the other guy, the interviewer asked the interviewee, what's your biggest lie you ever told? And so the guy sat there for a little bit. He said, let me think. The biggest lie I've ever told. He said, right. So what is it? He said, well, I think the biggest lie I've ever told is saying, I'm fine. So I replayed that back. He said, I'm fine. So it made me think about that a little bit. And how often do we say that? How are you doing today? I'm good. How are you? Meanwhile, our world's falling apart internally or outside of it. We're quick to say, I'm good, I'm fine, or whatever. When really we're not. There's a lot of things going on in everybody's lives. And that just kind of stuck with me, that the biggest lie he ever told was saying, I'm fine. So we're going to work on that. So basically, is when I'm fine isn't fine. It's kind of the theme I'm going with. So in Psalms 38 and verse 8, it says, I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared my reason of the disquietness of my heart. Now, flip over to Proverbs 14 and verse 13. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and at the end of that mirth is heaviness. All right, so let's pray. Lord, please bless the reading of your word. Dear Lord God, be with the words that I have to say. Let me not stray off of it. Let everything I say comes from you, dear Lord God, not a personal opinion or my own thoughts, dear Lord God. Guard my words. That's all you say in your name. Amen. All right, so in Proverbs 38, and I will read that again, says, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Now, those first 8 verses, there's some debate on different commentaries if it's referring to a physical or a mental struggle that David was going through. because we know he messed up quite a bit, so it could be something weighing on him mentally. But know what he exactly talking about in those eight verses. We don't know if it was physical or mental. But either way, when you're going through something mentally, it's just wearing on you, it starts affecting you physically. If you get depressed, you don't want to go outside, you don't want to do anything, you want to lay around. So it starts affecting you physically. And then when you're physically ill, it starts affecting your psyche. Like, what's going on with me? Am I sick? Am I going to die? What's wrong? So either way, whether you're physically sick or you're mentally sick, or have an illness, those things weigh on one another. And then on Proverbs 14, in verse 13, I read that as well. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So have any of y'all faked happiness, faked laughter? And that's kind of what 13 is talking about, that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And then when it talks about at the end of that verse, and the end of that mirth is heaviness, what mirth means is your joy, your gladness. And there are things that we deal with that can steal our joy. So oftentimes, I'm fine has simply just became a mask that we just wear. Now, it's not always, a lie to deceive others, but oftentimes it's a shield to protect ourselves. Rather, it's protect us from judgment. We're all Christians, but, we all know Christians that are very judgmental. So maybe it's sometimes of people we don't want to tell what's really going on because we want people to judge us for it. It protects us from being vulnerable. And then it protects us from having to explain pain that we don't want people to know or pain that we don't even understand. There's times in life we go through things that we simply just don't understand why. But it's important to know that unresolved hurt never disappears. It settles deeper and deeper and deeper. So, for example, we got all these trees that have been cleared out behind us. But a tree doesn't start rotting on the outside. No, it starts rotting inside, and it looks fine. And then all of a sudden, a strong wind will come, a storm will come through, and that tree falls. And then you look at it, and you realize it's very brittle. But on the outside, it looked fine. But that's kind of what unresolved pain, unresolved hurt will do. It just starts eating away inside. And it just kind of, kills you on the inside out. So my first point is God sees what others don't. So in 1 Samuel, which is somewhere in my Bible, chapter 16, verse 7, says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, on that last word of that verse, in verse 7, is heart. Now, he's not talking our physical heart. No, it's not God being a cardiologist and just looking at our heart. It's talking about our inward man, where our thoughts and our emotions and our will comes from. And so God doesn't evaluate us on our church attendance. He doesn't evaluate us on our outward behavior, because we can fake that. And he doesn't evaluate us on our social image. Nowadays, people strive to be an influencer on social media. And a lot of young people look in that direction and follow somebody like that. And so people strive to have a high social standing, but God doesn't evaluate us on that. He examines our motives. For example, I would say about faking our outward behavior. I can be the nicest person ever, and you think, well, he's such a great guy. But really, my motive can be ill, and it's to me try to get on your good side to get something from you. So our outward behavior, God doesn't look at that. He looks at what our motive is behind how we act. He knows our fears. There are things that each one of us deal with that we don't share with most people. But God knows those things. And I'm grateful that he does, because there's times when we go through things that we just don't have the words to express how we feel, what we need. Only things we can say is, God help. And God knows those things, thankfully. Because there are many times, even when we're talking to one another, we can't put the right words together to express that. God doesn't need us to have the right words. He just needs us to need him. But he also knows your hidden wounds. All of us have hurt somehow. Not necessarily church hurt. It could be past relationships. It could be current relationships. It could be friendships, whatever. We all have wounds internally that we just deal with. God knows those things. So you may successfully convince your friends, your family, and even your church members that you're fine. But you will never convince God that you are fine when you are falling apart inside. So it's important to make note, to remember, or whatever, that God's awareness of whatever we're struggling with is not to expose us in shame, but it's to lead us towards healing. Because a Christian that is hurting quietly, it's hard for them to be effective in God's work. So, back to Psalms. So, Psalms 139 and verse 1 and 2 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. So he searched us and he knows us. Now, the Bible already has mentioned that he knows the number of hairs on our head. That's quite impressive. Before I came in, I'm gonna tell y'all a personal story. Before we came in, Christy got a lint roller, started rolling my vest. I don't know where all this hair came from. So that's a lot of math for God, for somebody. So they lost a lot of hair. But he searched us and he knows us. So he already knows the anxiety that you hide. All of us, well, I don't say all of us, you know, I struggle with anxiety. There are things that I want to say I'm getting better at it, but maybe I'm not. But there's some things I just worry about. And I want to say that I've grown, I guess, really more the last 5 years than any time. But, you know, God knows about the anxiety that we hide from others. He knows the pressure that you carry. You know, you work for any amount of time, work can weigh on you. There's pressure of your boss or work pressure of customers and then just being coworkers. And then there's questions you don't voice. There is one of my teenagers made mention of it, they had a question, and I said, well, why didn't you ask that? Because we could have talked about it at Sunday school, and other people would have done it. But they didn't want to ask about it in front of everybody. And it was a Bible question. but they didn't want them for other people to know that they didn't know. So, but there's questions that that we don't voice. God already knows. So stop performing for people and just start opening up to God. Every one of us has been let down by somebody, and every one of us has let somebody down. So when we're trying to please people, we're going to fail. The expectations that we have may be so high that it's impossible for them to even meet it. So you're setting them up to fail. So quit trying to just perform and put on a show. And if you start opening up to God and being faithful in that, you don't have to put on a show. Be true to yourself, and God will take care of everything else. So point two is even God's people struggles honestly. Now, everybody that God has used through the Word of God, through His Scripture, had a problem. I talked about the first 8 verses of Psalms that I read about David. We didn't know what he was going through, but we know he was going through something. But everybody that God used had a problem. So why are we so quick to hide ours? So Scripture doesn't sanitize human emotion. It reveals it. So going back to David, in Psalm 6:6, it shows that he had physical symptoms of emotional pain. There's tears, there's sleeplessness, and deep sorrow. So he had emotional exhaustion. Elijah has spiritual burnout. Y'all ever been there? In 1 Kings 19:4, he just came off that great victory of with the prophets of Baal, but then though just a matter of verses later, he's taken off and hiding. So sometimes our spiritual highs can be immediately followed by emotional lows. And then Jeremiah, he had deep discouragement. He expressed feelings of regret and despair. So not rebellion, but overwhelming grief. So struggle is not a sin. Because we struggle every day. With something, we struggle with it. But being dishonest about our struggle is dangerous. So those examples I gave you, and so is that one, we're not alone. God did mighty things with David, despite all of his failures. We're not alone. And no matter how faithful you are, you will have weak moments. But in all of that, God does not abandon you in those weak moments. So each one of them cried out to God, and each time God met their needs. So if you can be honest with God, if they can be honest with God, why can't we? All right, point three. I'm cruising right along. Psalms 32, verse 3. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. In this is also David's writing, but he's describing internal decay. His bones waxed old mean that there was emotional stress that was affecting his body. Silence creates pressure. We all know that if you've been married for any amount of time or been in a relationship amount of time, that don't keep things bottled up, because eventually they're going to burst, and it is never pretty when it does. So silence creates pressure, and that pressure can be harmful. So keeping it in, keeping it bottled up, distorts your thinking, it drains your energy, and it weakens your spiritual life. What is hidden grows stronger. Meaning, if you've ever planted anything from seeds, that root is taking hold and growing strong, and we don't ever really see it until it bursts through the ground. So it was hidden, but that's where the strength comes from. That's where its foundation comes from. So what's hidden grows stronger, but also once it comes through the ground, what is exposed starts losing its grip. Once a flower blooms, once a vegetable plant grows, at that point forward, it's on its way to dying. So eventually it's going to produce a fruit, a vegetable, but it's going to die off eventually. So it's kind of like carrying a backpack. And y'all probably heard this analogy before, but at first it's light. But you add one rock, say it's hurt, whether it's a relationship hurt, church hurt, or whatever. At first it's light. It's kind of manageable. But then you add a little bit more to it, you know, your fear, your guilt, your anxiety. And the more you add to it, it becomes overwhelming. And eventually you collapse, not because of one thing, but because of all the accumulated weight. So if I had one of y'all hold this bottle of water, hold it straight out, at first it's not going to be heavy. It's not going to be a problem. In 3 hours, your arm's going to be sore. So the more we hold on to something, the heavier, the more painful it becomes. And then, like I said, eventually you collapse. So avoiding problems delays your healing. When you fake it, when you pretend, you're creating isolation. You start distancing yourself from other people. And then that silence feeds suffering. You become miserable. Now you stop eating. You stop going outside. You start socializing. You just, become a recluse. So trust God. Point four. God invites you to be real. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So one of the most impactful things that I look back on often is actually on the front of our bulletin. But most people grab their bulletin and open it up. But on the inside, on the outside, on the front cover of our bulletin, it says, "A real church filled with real people with real problems coming together to serve a real God." That's true. We all got problems. We all got struggles. Now, I'm not telling you to never say, "I'm fine, I'm good," because I get it. Sometimes there's some things we just need to keep to ourselves. But there's often some things we just keep to ourselves when we need to vent, but we keep it bottled up. I'm grateful that I have some men in this church that I can be completely open with and be transparent with. I haven't always had that, and I'm grateful for these men that I can just be honest with. But see, in that verse 28, that labor, that is worn out from your effort. No, it doesn't say, my fun is heavy. It's my labor. We get exhausted. We work all day. We're tired. Saturday comes, you work all day out in the yard. You got a lot done, but you're tired. Nobody has more energy after laboring all day. We're all tired. We're all exhausted. So it's a worn out effort. And then it says heavy laden. And that's burden from being weighed down. We are to help one another. We are to carry one another's burdens. But we, like I mentioned at the very beginning, sometimes we keep things to ourselves because of judgment or how people will view us or how we feel they will look at us. It's important to have some good friends that you can rely on, that you can trust on, and be honest with. So Jesus, in that verse, Jesus is speaking to people who are spiritually exhausted, emotionally drained, and trying to hold everything together. So God's invitation to us, in by that verse, is not to fix yourself, then come to me about it. That's not how it works. We all know what page 81 is. Don't even have to open up your book and know it says, just as I am. But we don't do that. Or maybe at least I don't. I still try to help God out on things. And it's always a mess. And it simply is, come as you are. And if we asked each person, to be honest, what is heavy in your life right now, we all will have something to say. We all got things that we are dealing with. And in Hebrews chapter 4, I'll read two verses there, 15 and 16. So Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Being tempted is not a sin. Giving in to that temptation is when that line's crossed and becomes a sin. And so Jesus understands our temptation and our infirmities. In Isaiah it talks about him being whipped for us. Christ knows pain. He knows what betrayal is. He knows what it's like to have a group of friends to hang out with and they abandon you. So Jesus understands rejection. He understands loneliness. He understands pressure. And he understands sorrow. You don't impress God by pretending. You impress him by trying to connect and grow closer to him. And by being real. And talk to God honestly. If you've ever spent an amount of time in church, you have probably heard some very eloquent prayers. They just can pray like nobody's business. I struggle in praying out loud. I struggle. I can't get my words together. I repeat things. And then every Sunday morning after announcements, I got to pray out loud in front of all y'all. It's a struggle I have. It's a weakness I have. But God wants us to talk to him honestly. He don't want us to put these magnificent, fantastic words together. Just pray. Be honest with him. If there's anybody we can be completely truthful with, it's God. Because one, he already knows. We're not telling him anything he don't know. So why can't we be truthful with him? And bring him raw emotion, not rehearsed words. It's okay to tell God you're mad. It's okay to be upset with God. It's not okay to stay that way, because God has a plan. He has a reason behind everything. We just don't like the reasoning behind it sometimes. But it's okay to tell God, I'm not happy with you right now. But pray about it. He will work through you in it. And Point five. Healing begins with honesty. So going back to Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 6. It says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom." So God desires truth, not just in words, but our inward parts. Meaning that we can be truthful in our words, but inside saying, "I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to follow through with that." He wants us, our actions, to match our truthful words. So basically, deep honesty, not surface level spirituality. So, a couple things. The spiritual process of healing is, one, recognition. Admit, I'm not fine. It's okay to not be okay. Confession, bring it to God. The hard part, surrender. Give it to God. Release control of it. And then restoration. Allow God to work through that pain. Allow Him to heal you. But why is honesty hard? Well, fear of judgment, fear of appearing weak, and then fear nothing will change. Sometimes we may tell people, "Well, let me know if you need anything," but deep inside we're hoping, "Please don't need anything." But that's how we are as humans. We want to sometimes appear all godly, but we're not. We fail in that area. But truth leads to freedom. So John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You can't heal what you don't reveal to God. Now, yes, we've already established God knows everything, right? But when we bring what we're struggling with to God, that is an act of submission. We are turning to, we're saying, "Hey, God, I need help with this." So how can we do this? Daily, honest prayer, no filter. Just be honest in your prayers. Write down your struggles. Write down where your weaknesses are. Talk to somebody that you can trust. Stay connected to your church. Now, when Christy was out with her brain surgery, we weren't here for a little while. We were kind of like, "How are things going to be when we come back? Will the kids even like us? Will the teenagers be, 'Oh man, they're back'? You know, will we walk through the doors and people like, 'Oh, where y'all been?' Well, you know where we've been." No, you always wonder, but that's Satan getting in our heads. Stay connected to your church. Saying "I'm fine" can become a habit. It become a defense. It can also be a barrier. By keeping it that way, it can become a prison. It can become a burden and a lie that you start believing. God is not asking for perfection. He is asking for your truth. Psalms 34:18 is the last verse I'll read. Says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." God doesn't move away from those that are brokenhearted. He moves closer. But we have to be willing to move closer to God. So drop the mask, release the burden, and choose honesty. So I challenge you. What are you hiding behind the, "I'm fine"? And what have you refused to bring to God? What burden are you carrying alone? So stop saying, "I'm fine." And start saying, "Lord, here's the truth." And just bring it to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You for my time of study, dear Lord God. Thank You for these words, dear Lord God. May it stay with me. Let me be truthful where I need to be, dear Lord God. I just ask that You would be with this congregation, dear Lord God, that we will learn to rely on You. Yes, it's easy to say that, but sometimes we don't follow through with that. Let us bring all of our burdens, all of our cares to You. And those that are struggling with things, dear Lord God, show them somebody that they can be truthful with, somebody that they can rely on and be transparent with, dear Lord God. Let us learn to love one another, dear Lord God, without judgment, without fear, and just true faithfulness, dear Lord God. Be with us as we travel. We'll give You all the honor and glory for these things. In Your name I pray. Amen. That's it. Y'all can go home now. Thank y'all for hanging out.